So the question everyone wants to know is, Ben, is what have you got underneath your skirt? See, I've got boots. Oh! I'm just glad that wasn't on camera, because that was a real deal. So, thank you for coming. Now, when we launched the beta, or beta, for Jeremy, version of beta for of Backstage, we gave Ben a little heads up, and he managed, I think, get the first blog entry in there for Backstage. And I think it said something along the lines of, the consequences of what the BBC are doing here quite literally make you want to shit. His words. So I was thinking about the confidence and thinking to myself, we should get some t-shirts done with Backstage on them. And of course, what should we pop back? So great, it makes you want to shit. But unfortunately, the BBC policy people didn't really like that idea, so I haven't bought any, I'm afraid. But if you want to, you know, there's always cafepress.com, whatever it's called, so have a look there. So before I start, let me just do the obligatory, this is Creative Commons license with attribution, commercial, non-commercial, yada yada yada. And if you want to have a look at the presentation, it'll be up on that website address at the end. And if I get hold of any copies of videos or audio or anything, then I'll try and link to them from there as well. So there you go. So just make what you're going to talk about today. Let me just check my time, make sure I've got time. So, introduction. For those of you who don't know what Backstage is, hopefully everyone does, because I've been whoring myself to death with the media outlets trying to make sure everyone does know what it is, but maybe you've been on Mars or something, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe you just don't care. Hopefully I'll be able to go through it pretty quickly. Then the actual launch, which are loads of whooping and hollering, I hope, for the launch. Then our big announcement, which will be interesting. Unless you've read BBC News Online this morning already, which actually has already published it, even though I'm asking for the bar at 3 o'clock, yeah. And if you've got time, then I'll do a quick brief showcase of some of the cool prototypes we've submitted so far, because at the end of the day, that's the key part of the project, is what the cool stuff that you guys obviously build. So here's the introduction. So, in case you don't know what it is, I'll just go very quickly through these slides. Backstage is a developer network. We saw that Yahoo were about to launch one, Google had one, Amazon had one, and we looked at the benefits that those companies were obviously getting from opening up a dialogue with expert users and developers who are interested in their products. And we thought to ourselves, well, that's a bit of that, that's really interesting. But generally, no, there were some really good benefits to it that we could always see that those companies were getting out of it, and we were quite keen to do the same. So we created Backstage, which is about ultimately a platform for us to share some of our content at the moment, at least with you guys, to do things with. And on there there's also a community of other developers, peer conversation, you know, there's all sorts of interesting ideas that come up on our email discussion list, so if you're not already on it, check it out. And we came up with a little license for the BBC just to allow us to give you access to the content, which was obviously at the time not possible when we first launched the Backstage. We had to get the lawyers in the room and knock their heads together until they agree something. That was a bit of work, but that's not for now, I guess, to think about. It's in the distance. But ultimately, it is an opportunity for you to connect with us and for us to connect with you and to feedback back into the creative process. And why are we doing it? Well, it's part of a greater open BBC that you probably have begun to see recently. So, the Creative Archive, which was kicked off by Paula, and is going from strength to strength, is part of that. And obviously, we launched a couple of weeks ago our open source website. Sorry, Paula's giggling for some reason. She's got a fit of laughter, I don't know what that is, but anyway. So, it's just put me off. So, there's the Creative Archive, the open source website, bbc.co.uk/open source, if you haven't seen that, check it out. Yeah, it's just part of a greater open BBC, which I hope you guys are seeing us doing, and we're kind of continuing to push for it, as it's something we quite feel quite passionate about, and certainly something that we want to see going forward. But the other reason why I personally wanted to do Backstage was to identify and showcase talent out there, you guys, doing cool stuff and making sure that we can create a good platform on which we can show that off to the world, and obviously anyone can come along and look at the Backstage website. Peers, other companies, the BBC obviously has a good look, and we want everyone to look at some of the great stuff that's being built out there. And I kind of like to think of this as public service for the 21st century. It's a bit buzzwordy, but I mean, it is in the BBC's public service nature to be doing this kind of stuff, I think. But ultimately, the reason why I wanted to do Backstage and I'm really pleased to be part of it was it attempts to encourage and support those who have provided much of the innovation on the internet, the passionate and highly skilled and public-spirited developers and designers, and many of whom volunteer their time and effort, and many of you are in this room to do this today. I've been to the last NotCon last year, and I think I had that in mind when I was working up on Backstage, and thinking to myself, a lot of the guys here are going to be people who are quite interested in doing this kind of stuff. And there really are so many people who want to participate, which is really cool, and we're already building things around BBC content, which was outside of Backstage. They were hacking stuff up, and so it wasn't quite legal, but personally, I was thinking, this is brilliant, there's some great innovation going on here, so I thought to myself, we should definitely be part of that. And then it turned out other people in the BBC as well were interested in doing something similar. James Bordwell, who's in the room somewhere, was involved in setting up the Backstage as well. And also Tom Newsmore, who had a big involvement. I was just a cog in a much bigger machine. But together, we brought together Backstage, kind of based on these kind of values. So what are we offering? I should go very briefly, as I said, you may well have already gone to the site. BBC News and BBC Sport RSS feeds. We actually make those available for commercial use in that you can put them on a commercial website as well if you want to do that, but then you can't participate in Backstage because we're non-commercial. But we do have the RSS feeds which allow you to reproduce those on your own site and do cool things with them. Some really interesting travel XML data, which is quite comprehensive of train road delays and things. People building some cool stuff with that. Some threads from the BBC message board, there are loads of them, so there's lots of threads and interesting things to be done there. And of course we've got some podcasting feeds we did recently, and we've already seen some interesting backstagey podcasting work as well. And there's other stuff as well. Plus there's stuff that we're going to launch today as well. And what's the deal? Well, it's strictly non-commercial. Backstage is kind of the ethic it comes from. It's kind of people like yourselves with a passion for what we're doing. And that's the basis that we're able to make the content available. So it's strictly non-commercial. And we like to see people remixing and working with other providers as well. Obviously where they're licensed, but that's cool. Mix in with Yahoo, mix in with Google, Delicious, it's all cool. And unlike perhaps some of the other developer networks, perhaps, I don't know, but we are quite keen to be really clear that you own the intellectual property of the prototypes that you build. Obviously we retain the copyright, the content, the actual content that we provide, but the rest of it, you're only intellectual property, and what you then choose to do with that is up to you. And I think that's the key part of this, that we're not out to rip off your ideas, steal them, or anything like that. We want to play fair, and want to create a dialogue, and if we see stuff that's good, we want to work with you, rather than, you know, undermining you, or taking the rug underneath you by nicking your content, or anyway, sorry, your prototypes, or anything like that. It's just not what we're about. And of course, when you submit your work to Backstage, we showcase it to the world. And as I just mentioned previously, that's us having a look at it, that's our competitors having a look at it, that's anyone who wants to have a look at it. And of course, if they then want to contact you to discuss what you're doing, that's cool as well. There's no kind of formal time with the BBC specifically or anything like that. It's just kind of open and fair, I think. So yeah, we want to work with the producers of successful prototypes. So there is kind of a series of layers and a scale that we want the prototypes to go up so that we can actually realise the good prototypes into something even better and hopefully perhaps mature before the BBC website. So if you build something successful, we're keen to work with you to try and iterate it further. Got some kind of, you know, you haven't quite got the there's something that you need to buy to make yours better, maybe some extra skills that you don't have, maybe just more time. If you build something that looks really good, we're keen to work with you and see what we can do on that. And ultimately, we do want to implement some of the really cool stuff back onto the into the organisation and into the main BBC site. And obviously, you own the intellectual property, so we're already working with a framework so that we can get into a non-exclusive or exclusive licensing with you so that we can ultimately, if you want to take it to the next level, not the ultimate level, I guess, and actually putting it on the BBC website, if it's really good. Mm. And so far, we've seen many of them that are, so that's good. So today is about actually launching the site out of beta. We were in beta, I think, partly just to kind of, we weren't quite sure what the reaction to the site was going to be, whether people would kind of get it, maybe they wouldn't, because we're a content website as opposed to a service website like Yahoo and Google and so on. But it was really well received, and people seemed to like it. So we kind of listened to some of the feedback and changed a few things, but that was all good during the beta. But we are quite committed to this, which is why we're taking it out of beta. It's not one of these fashionable perpetual betas. It's a proper thing that we're interested in looking at properly. So with that in mind, and I've spent ages doing this, so please watch carefully. And if you like your cheesy PowerPoint animations, there's a few more to come, don't worry.
Open source,
how you did that? Open source, how I did it? It's on the PowerPoint, you can download it. So, new feeds. This one isn't quite new, I guess. We've had it out for about a week and a half, 2 weeks now. This is the TV, the BBC TV and radio schedule information for the next seven days. It's essentially the data that you need to build a BBC EPG. And we're making that available in TV Anytime format, which is the BBC format, which BBC Research and Development are working with the TV Anytime Forum on producing. It's quite a rich data XML schema, a lot of schedule information, genre information in there. So hopefully there's some cool things and some good opportunities for people to build interesting things around that. Another thing which we're going to be announcing today is that BBC Weather, in association with the Met Office, we are going to be offering BBC Weather on the site as well, so that would be really cool. I was hoping to have that for you today, and so awful excuse, but due to the recent events over the last couple of days, some of the people who had worked on the site and live site work to get this done had to actually work on immediate operational issues with serving all of the hits. I think we had on Thursday almost 50,000 hits a second to the BBC website at one point, so understandably they had to work on that. And so I am sorry that we haven't actually quite got this up to today, but I'm hoping that this will be up Monday, Tuesday. So you'll be able to request a developer key, same kind of idea as other developer networks, and start requesting BBC Weather data. And we're going to build a few APIs on top of that, and hopefully add some more complicated and sophisticated weather feeds as well. At the moment, we've just got sort of fine data, but there'll be even more coming. But again, please let us know what you want. I mean, we have got lots of data at our disposal. It's a case of knowing what people want, some of the cool things you might want to do. So if you've got some ideas on that, send them through to me, and I'll certainly make sure that we can have a look at releasing the right data that might help that. And there is even more to come over time. I mean, the BBC understands the importance of RSS and realises that it's something we need to make sure that we're making available. So as new sites get launched and new sites get looked at, we're trying to launch RSS where we can. And those RSS feeds that make it available across the BBC should, and okay, there is a caveat there because I can't guarantee it, but should, where possible, be Backstage compatible. So you should be able to incorporate those into Backstage and into your Backstage projects. And the APIs are coming. I know that we're not really a proper developer network until we've got proper hardcore APIs, but they are coming. As I said, we are kind of content orientated at the moment, but we have got some services that we're trying to make available as well. And if we make those available, we'll certainly bring even more complicated, sophisticated APIs on board. But again, part of this, and my role is two roles in the BBC, I guess. It's an advocate for the BBC and what we're doing with Backstage to you guys, but it's also as an advocate for you guys back into the BBC. And it's me that goes around and wants to say to people, we really need to release this feed, we really need to make that available on Backstage. There's so many cool things we could do with it. So, you know, if you've got ideas, if you've got things that you want to see us do, send them through to me, and I will certainly go away and try my best to make them available, because there's a whole list of stuff that we can do, and there's only so much time, but obviously if you know what's popular and what might be interesting, then, you know, let me know and we'll try and concentrate on that. So, there's also an announcement today of the inaugural Backstage with BBC.co.uk competition. So, at the moment, you can just submit anything you want to Backstage, unsolicited. You know, you come up with a great idea, send it to us, it's brilliant. But what we also want to see is we've got some objectives, we've got some ideas and things that we think could really be quite interesting to look at and research and develop a little bit more. So we've got people in Adobe BBC that are looking at some of these, but we also want to make them available to you. Because at the end of the day, you guys are going to come up with ideas that we would just never have thought of. I mean, wisdom of crowds, the fact that we're sitting in front of this data all the time and you guys have got different perspectives is brilliant. So we're really keen to see if you've got some ideas and you want to participate with some of the objectives that we've got. And ultimately, they will help improve the BBC website, which again is a public service website. So it's kind of feeding into that public service concept. So the first competition today is we want you to innovate and come up with prototypes that demonstrate ways of exploring BBC TV schedule. As one journalist asked me, well, what's the name of the competition? I mean, I haven't got a name for it yet. It's kind of that. So if you can think of a name, let me know, because I haven't got one yet. But so we want you to build around an idea, come up with ideas around the TV schedule. But what does that mean? So we've kind of listed some ideas here, which I have to thank my colleague Gemma Stone for coming up with some of them. As he said to me, you've ripped off all my ideas on your presentation. So things you might want to do with BBC schedule data, if you're interested in participating, and I hope as many of you as possible will, you might want to combine with some web services, such as Delicious and Technorati, or open up some of the programs to external annotation. Might be quite interesting. There's a lot of genre information available in the TV Anytime format that I was talking about just now. And you might want to be able to build something to pull out films or comedies or a particular genre or a particular program type, like signed or subtitled programming. Vertical searching by genre, quite an interesting idea potentially. You might want to introduce a social element to a schedule or channel, and there's some opportunities there, bookmarking, rating, voting, that kind of thing. And obviously some interesting things you might want to be able to do. You could do with alerts and client push, so SMSing people when new TV programs are on, email broadcasts, desktop reminders, I don't know. And finally, you might have your own ideas as well. These are just kind of things to keep your, to sort of get the creative juices flowing. But you might have existing data from the BBC or other external sources, or new ways of tagging programs. I don't know, you guys will no doubt come up with some really cool ideas which we would just never have thought of. And so with that in mind, you know, we'd like you to participate. And if you can use the TV Anytime, extra points, because then it'll make your prototype truly dynamic. But if you're not into doing the TV Anytime format, which, okay, then have a look at the schedule data we've got on what's on. But what's the point of doing this? Why would you want to do this? Well, hopefully you want to do it because I genuinely think it's a cool thing. But what we're also offering is a brand new famous brand ramp mount server for the winner. Ooh. And the prize gets better, because not only that, you will be if you win, a guest of the Backstage crew to the BBC. Have a look around the BBC. I'm sure many of you will agree that the server just pales in insignificance for the second prize, second part of the prize. And just in case you haven't contemplated how fantastic this really is. Ultimate geek clear. Let me just skip back to the previous slide in a second, and give me an opportunity to do that as well. So the criteria is we're looking at the level of innovation around some of your prototypes that you might come up with, and also the quality of the execution. It'll be judged by a celebrity panel. Means, I don't know who's going to judge it yet, but it'll be someone famous. Not me. I'm not going to get into famous. I had an ad-lib there about Danny O'Brien's early talk, but no, that's not going to happen. I mean, what is being famous? No, let's not go there. So the so as I said, you're wearing a surplus. I'm just going to do that again because it's so cool. Even if I do say so myself. So full details will be on the site on Monday, and we're going to close the competition the 5th of September. So if you're interested in participating, please do. I hope you have a think of some ideas and build a few things. Get them into this by the 5th of September, please. And if you're interested in participating, send me an email if you want any kind of further information or anything like that, or whatever. So I just want to showcase a couple of things that people have built recently with Backstage, which are particularly cool. At this point, I'm going to come out here. And sorry, I should have this all geared up, I forgot. Sorry about that. Just chat amongst yourselves for a second. Does it all work? And something's
not working, isn't it? While Spencer's just talking about things, I had an announcement that I remembered, didn't remember to make at the beginning. Master Spencer, Ewan says, if you had your iPod shuffle, and those of you who know what that means will understand it, and want to get it unshuffled, so you have your own shuffle that isn't shuffled one, bang, then you can, in the break, go downstairs and argue amongst yourselves. How are you going to identify your own shuffle when it's on shuffle? Because you won't know. Yeah. And also, in about 10 minutes' time, there's going to be questions from the floor for Ben, so think of questions. I will now hand you back to the scheduled program.
So I'm really sorry about that. I should have got my stuff together early. So what we're looking at here is a really interesting prototype that was done by a guy called Don Ramsey, and it's basically a number of things which other guys have and girls worked on Backstage in terms of putting different types of data into a map environment. But this is good because it kind of puts everything together in one. So this is coming from the BBC travel site, and if I click on here, you can kind of see that there's some kind of blockage on the southbound by a shed of paint cans. Really into detail. So, I'm almost disappointed it didn't tell me what colour the paint was. So, and there's all sorts of interesting things here in terms of you could do, and you can see this person's mixing in Flickr as well here, which is quite cool. So we can see a picture of what she's if only the paint had been shed on the cement, then we could watch the paint and the cement dry. So yes, so that's quite nice. And the other thing I'll show you. This isn't much to look at because it's really a podcast. Is it loads up here? But what is quite nice about it is, well, this person will tell you that when iTunes launched the podcasting aspect of their service a couple of weeks ago, this was actually at the top of their most popular podcasts. It is actually a guy, I think they've got guys doing for Backstage. It's a text-to-speech converter that basically reads some BBC news for you, converts it into speech, and then you obviously can save that as a podcast on your iPod. It kind of does sound a bit sort of Dazzling's Gilding, Egyptian Glass, kind of Dalek style. But unbelievably, it was actually the most popular podcast when iTunes first launched. And I have to say, a few people in BBC were a little bit annoyed because we were offering quite a lot of official podcasts, which were much further down the list. So, I was championing the user and like, yeah, this is great. But let me just. But this, I think, for me, is one of the coolest things at the moment someone has built. I think Matthew may even be here. So this is quite a serious aspect to it as well, I guess. Obviously, there were some tragic events that happened on the 7th, which I will just scroll down to the bottom. And what this is it's diff for news, for those of you who are of a techie persuasion. Basically, showing you the difference between one source and another is obviously diff. popular programme. This is Diff for News. So it shows you each time a journalist updates and makes a change on the BBC News website front page, it shows you here, which is fantastic. Fantastic. But obviously this day's news, I think, was particularly sad, but I think it quite kind of shows you some of the interesting ways you could just kind of get a picture of how the day went. I mean, you can see here, just on the morning of the 7th, we just found out that we'd won the Olympic Games, and people were sort of quite jubilant, as it says there. And let me just scroll quite quickly, because there's lots here. Oops, that's what I wanted. So you can see there, lots of pictures. And I think what it shows you is the day went on. So we got our days ready for, you know, we were thinking of climate change, which was the big issue of the G8. And obviously as the day went on, we suddenly found out there'd been a bang. And it became top news as we realised it was quite serious. And as you go through, and I'm going to continue scrolling up, you can just get an idea. Here we took off of the Olympic scene because it was quite important, obviously, to concentrate on the immediate incident. And as more pictures came in, these were obviously the traffic jam cameras that we used to begin with. Then we had some proper photographs, which really showed how horrific it really was, I guess. And as you can see, I'm just going to scroll quickly because of loads of it. You can see, as the day went on, you've got a really nice log of what happened, which I think is really going to be important going forward and sort of remembering what actually happened on that day. So, I know you guys have already tapped in once, but can we have another round of applause for me? And that's obviously for every day. You know, you can have happy for the news, and there's loads of other interesting days as well. Perhaps some more happier news as well, hopefully. But anyway, that's me. Thank you very much for listening. Hopefully, some people might be interested in participating in Backstage if you're not already. But if you have got questions or if you've got anything, either come and give me a, you know, grab my hand. He wants the mic. He wants the mic.
Questions now.
Questions now.
Questions now.
Hello, Stefan Magdalinsky. You said that it's all available on a non-commercial license, and I've been involved in a few things where something that started off as non-commercial has accidentally ended up building a lot of commercial value. And what do you have in place, and how are you going to deal with that?
So I'm going to come over to the last interest first question. So is that commercial value that you wish to exploit yourself, or commercial value that you wish to... I mean, what do you exactly do you mean to reach the confirmation?
Some potentially exploitable commercial value. If, you know, when we did Out on the Street, it started off as it was just a demo site, and then it turned into a really big thing. But I can see out of this and all this stuff, people are going to create things that other people are going to want to create, but pay money for, or are going to want, you know, is somebody going to want to buy?
Sure.
And are we not going to be allowed to do that? Is it never going to be possible, or are we going to have to share it or give it?
I'm itching because now I really want to answer the question. So the interesting thing about Backstage is obviously it's previously providing data, and we're not going to be looking at you can't at the moment commercialise product that you're using with that data. But if you find that there's a commercial value for the thing that you build, your own intellectual property, once you've demonstrated that there's a commercial value to it, then you are obviously able to go and seek out a source of that data from someone who will provide it to you at a commercial license. The BBC in most cases, and I don't want to get too much into the kind of legal stuff because I'm not a lawyer, but obviously the BBC can't provide BBC data to people for commercial use in the UK, generally speaking. Again, I don't really want to concentrate too much on that aspect, but obviously you can go and search for that information somewhere else, and if you've demonstrated a commercial need, it may well be that you want to go and buy that information from a different provider, and obviously you've then actually got a commercial service that you've built, and we're happy to have helped you to incubate that, I guess. I mean, we were kind of hoping you might come back to us and we might be able to see if there's something we can do at the BBC in terms of making it go forward. But if you did want to make something truly commercial out of it, then, as I said, you do own the intellectual property of what you build, and what you therefore choose to do with that is up to you. Does that kind of answer your question, near enough?
Yeah.
Good.
But
right.
Can we go to the middle microphone now?
Sure.
Ron, anybody over there? Yeah, right,
right.
Sorry, can you just explain the link between Backstage and BBC
source. Because I kind of came across BBC Open Source and Debian and I hadn't realized there were disconnected or hardly.
Sure, so it's not, the open source website isn't built by me, so I can't take any credit, and I wouldn't want to take any credit for it, but it's built in the same department of BBC that I work in, and obviously there's crossovers. The open source website is about mainly about program scripts, things like that in the BBC, which we've obviously written, which we think might have some kind of value to you, all the way up through to, we'd like to therefore launch on a creative, on an open source license, all the way up to some of the interesting codec work that we're doing with Darrow as well, for example. So it's kind of a different aspect of it. I mean, it's open source stuff that we're making available rather than sort of, so it's kind of separate. I'm not quite sure, is there a specific aspect in terms of the crossovers that you were thinking and comparing about, or just?
I just wanted to understand more, just to better understand the relationship.
Sure.
So, for example, if I interview a composition and I use some of the open source DB Anytime generate that they've got, what? Because I'm just trying to understand better what the relationship is between the two.
Sure. Well, I think I understand. I mean, yeah, you can use the Java API for DB Anytime in your application. So yeah, and but you don't have to. Maybe if there's, I don't know, maybe there's something else that I'm not getting, which is really your specific concern. But we can take offline practices. Ben's jigging up and down. If he jiggles too much, I'm going to see what's under his kill again.
Let's
go.
Oh, love it.
Again.
Yes, I'm wondering about collaborations with the authorities for tipster lines and all of that. Is that possibly not fit for the competition, but for other BBC offshoots? Chicago Crimes, for example, is a website that's built off of Yahoo Maps. I'm just wondering if there are comparable ways in which the populace can utilize BBC materials and also whatever police materials are out there in order to make this terrorist situation go away.
Right. I don't think I have an answer to world peace with Backstage. It does a lot of things, but it doesn't do that. But obviously, you saw previously some mapping stuff that people have done. We're quite keen for people to fuse BBC content into maps and fusing other content as well from other providers. So obviously, we can be part of a greater value that someone might build out of that they build a prototype chance to include BBC data. So obviously, the crimes one is an example. If someone launched UK crime data, which I was actually speaking to someone recently about trying to get, not this way for Backstage, but just thinking it would be a really nice thing to have, then you could obviously cross-reference crime data and I don't know, BBC news stories, etc. I don't know, some interesting things perhaps there. At the top there,
what's that? You're obviously hoping to get a lot of content back from people into the site. How are we going to be able to search that through the site? Is it just freeform? Are you only going to have a quality threshold? Is there going to be some sort of judging committee? And what about issues of age restrictions?
So you're thinking of people submitting work back on to Backstage at the moment. If you submit something and it meets the Backstage terms and conditions and everything, it's not against any of our policy, it's not, then we will put it up. I mean, we'll put up anything as long as it's not obviously against the terms or anything which we obviously couldn't put up. Age restrictions, so if you're under 16, then you need to get permission of your parent or guardian, but you're more than happy, you're more than welcome to participate as well. There are some terms and conditions specifically for minors on the legal, so you need to have a good, but it is basically just making sure that you get your parents' permission. Yeah. And I'm quite excited because I started hacking around and building things like this when I was about 15, 16, many years ago. So we are aware that there are a lot of people who might be under the age of 18 who actually can contribute something quite interesting to the Backstage, so we want them to participate as well.
A follow-up question, how is an end user going to search through the content? How is it presented to everybody here who can't do
it? If you haven't said it's presented at the moment as a movable type website, which I will be honest with you, is not necessarily going to scale to how we need it to, but we'll look at that. It's a nice problem to have if we have too many that we can't search through. But we'll certainly look at categorising and probably adding a search engine on there as well. I think categorisation is probably where we're going with that.
It's a good Backstage project, isn't it?
Yeah, and if someone wants to build it for us, even better, but I'm joking, we will do it because it's important.
Question from over this side,
actually, two questions. Firstly, you said mention the APIs.
Yeah.
Could you just tell us a bit about when they will be available, what they will be able to do, and what they recommend? And the second question is, what is or will be the relationship between Backstage and IQ and Action Network?
Okay, so I'll take the last one first. The, there isn't at the moment any relationship with ICANN, Action Network as it's now called, which is the BBC's campaign site. There's a lot of data on there. I'm quite keen to try and get hold of some of that data. There's some issues over the fact that if it's user generated and we haven't obtained a license from the person who's, anyone who's submitted data to ICANN and Action Network now, if they've not agreed and let us re-syndicate it, obviously we can't re-syndicate, but we're trying to look into that. And certainly I think there's a lot of interesting tie-ups with Action Network, seeing as it's a campaigning site, things that people might want to do on other sites, putting data across. In terms of the APIs, there isn't a great deal of API at the moment, partly because I need to find out what people want. I want to build some APIs around some of our content. I want to know exactly what people want so that I sort of deliver to you the things that you obviously want, and interesting to have a chat with you and anyone else if you've got ideas on that. We are going to have a developer key system, which was what was being worked on Thursday and Friday to be implemented, which unfortunately got delayed, but hopefully that will be around next week as well. So you'll be able to request the server 100 times an hour, I think, at the moment, and obviously you can apply for more. It'll be a kind of very similar model to many of the other developer networks.
Frank.
You
are in now,
mate. Right. So to confirm, is Backstage now open to anybody in the world, or is it UK only? And how are you going to be pushing developer effort? So for people that don't,
So obviously the BBC is funded by license fee payers, and that's in the UK. So I have to say that we are primarily looking at promoting innovation and creativity with Backstage in the UK. But obviously it's a global website. We all know that, you know, if anywhere in the world you can access the website, and we're more than happy for people who are outside of the UK to participate. The Robotocast podcasting demo that I gave when you just saw previously is done by a chap who lives in the States. And the other question was about
building up
if you want. Yeah, so we're quite keen.
Sure.
So we're quite keen to see designers participating as well. We ask you to submit your ideas as well, and that's about looking about realizing that yes, not everyone's going to have the skills or the time or the interest. Who knows? To actually go out and build things and sort of hack away at code. So if you've got some interesting ideas, we'd ask you to submit them to the ideas part of the website, and hopefully other people who are participating in Backstage might pick up the idea and want to work with you on it. And obviously there's a big community on there which includes designers, and again, you can sort of collaborate and sort of work together on there as well. It's not just a developer network, even though I did say it was a developer network, it is a designer and developer network.
I appreciate it.
Go on in.
What's is the definition of commercial use hard and fast, or could I sort of slap something up and put Google Ads on the same page?
So, again, I'm not the lawyer, I'm the techie on the project, so I don't want to give a definite answer or anything. You need to review the terms. But basically, we have seen some prototypes that have got adverts on them, and we're broadly speaking okay with that if the advertising is basically helping to kind of just kind of fund your the hosting of the site, etc. A little small bits and pieces like Google AdWords, I guess, is permissible and understandable. But if you are actually commercializing the data, are you making money from the and profit from the work that you built? And obviously, there's an issue there. You need to sort of review the terms and conditions specifically. And if you've got questions on that front, again, email me and I can pass them on to Al, who surprisingly is very friendly. Not that kind of friendly.
BBC are very
friendly. On one hand, sticking out some XML seems really, really simple. On the other hand, it's fascinating and making a big thing of it. Could you, particularly within the BBC, could you talk about some of the political and technical issues you had to overcome, possibly heroically?
Oh, you ask the questions, and I've got bosses and co-workers here, and everyone's taking them. So, okay, so. If I get onto a meeting one day, and you know, myself, James Broadwell, Tom Lucemore, if you ever got some interesting ideas for making all this content available, what do you think? I couldn't necessarily say that the whole BBC was like, this is brilliant, let's do it. News were very up for it already. So, News, which is actually the department I used to work in, before coming to Backstage, had been open for a while to the idea of just making our RSS feeds available, making sure that they could be on other people's sites, because obviously it's reach, it's useful. And I think with that, these took the lead, and it was definitely great. It was certainly helpful to use that as a kind of example for the rest of the BBC to then follow. Parts of the BBC are more into it than others, but that is changing, and I think genuinely people are realising that the open BBC approach is definitely something that's worth, and it's beneficial for us, it's beneficial for you, the users, and the audience. So, yeah, I mean, it's getting there, and I think over time, as we build, as I show more prototypes to people around the BBC, it certainly gets easier to justify why we should be doing this. So keep the prototypes coming, and I'll try and keep the data coming, and I think it kind of works like that.
That seems a good place to wrap up. There'll be a 5-10 minute-ish break, and then we're going to have Masters or a different Yahoo-sized double piece. Round of applause.